decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
First, I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to stand where great men stand to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm truly humbled and I give glory to God. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The title of this sermon today is The Valley of Decision. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Satan, serve him. 1 Kings 18:21. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Matthew 6:24. Deuteronomy 30:15. I said before you today, life and good, and death and evil. The choice is yours. Amen. But you know, some men think they can play it safe and stand in the middle. But let's cut the middleman. Choose today whether to be a sheep or a goat, Matthew 25:32. Let me ask you a question. How can you serve the Lord without offending the devil? The choice is simple. God would prefer you to make a decision. He will respect you more if you make a decision versus standing in the middle. Revelation 3:15 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were either cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Would it be the gods your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And in serving the Lord, there are three requirements. It takes dedication. It also takes separation. And it takes conservation. If you plant a seed in good ground, it takes dedication. See, the soil must dedicate in his mind to be patient and diligent during the seed's growth. It also takes separation. See, the soil must separate the seed from any weeds or any outside forces that can hinder the seed's growth. It also takes conservation, in which God takes over. And he touches the seed with his sunlight and his water and his ground, which anchor the roots of the seed deep into the soil, giving the seed nutrients. And then the seed grows into a tree. And the tree will have fruit on it. Inside the fruit will be seeds that will grow into a tree. The tree will have fruit on it. Inside the fruit will be seeds. Those seeds will grow into a tree that will have fruit on it. Inside the fruit will be seeds that will grow into a tree. Genesis 1:12. The fastest way to destroy this seed's growth is to neglect it. You don't have to physically do anything to the plant or the seed. Just neglect it. By neglecting it, it will die naturally. See, the weeds and the outside forces will swallow the seed up. By doing nothing, sin will reign in your mortal body. Romans 6:12. David said in Psalms 32:3, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my rowing all the day long. Or in other words, when I did nothing about my sinful state, my body slowly decayed. Amen. See, everybody wants their situation in their life to be better and to change, but they're never willing to change themselves. See, those situations in our life are the fruit of the choices that we made in the valley of decision. See, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and every corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit or evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits you should know them. Matthew 7:17. See, bad fruit comes from bad trees. If you got a lot of bad situations hanging off of you today, well, you might be a bad tree. By your fruits we shall know you. So, Montrell, what does a bad tree look like? That's a good question. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Galatians 5, 19, and it reads, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery." The number one cause for divorce today, it is so common that there are dating websites that are only for married people. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Have eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin." Or in other words, adultery captivates your mind and create inside of you this burning sensation for fornication. Fornication. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18 says, "Fornication is sinning against your own body." See the things people do to their body today. Did you know that Newport News, area code 23607, has the highest AIDS HIV rate in the state of Virginia? All from fornication. See, these people come into your lives and they drop off their diseases, which is uncleanness. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Uncleanness means to dishonor your body physically and spiritually, like tattoos, overeating." Most commonly today, your bad language, your cuss words. See, the words that you speak, it mirrors your whole body. Amen. Matthew 12:34 said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak." Lasciviousness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 says, it means to be past feelings or numb to sin, to the point where you're not even affected by sin. You're not even affected by the things that you do. Like men do such things as rape women and children and rob the elderly. Lasciviousness. Idolatry, which is a strong desire for something that it takes full control of. It captures your mind. A study shows that the number one thing that captures the mind today is the love of money. See, it's nothing wrong with making money, but don't let the money make you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what you have." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, "Look at your money as bounty or a blessing that can help not only you, but those around you." The study shows, and not as covetousness. And study shows that the number two thing is what captures your time. Let me ask you a question. How long did you study your Bible in the last week? How long did you study your Bible? Okay. I have another question. In the last week, how long were you on Facebook? The PlayStation, the cell phone, the motorcycle, and the you fill in the blank. Was it longer than your time with God? Well, that's idolatry. Witchcraft. Well, we don't have too many problems with witchcraft today, do we? Not really. Are you kidding me? Look, turn on the TV. What about Charmed? What about Once Upon a Time? What about Harry Potter? What about American Horror Stories? All of these shows are mocking God through practicing witchcraft. And guess what? Some of us love these shows, don't we? See, but these are the fruits of the flesh. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, which means always being controversial. Always trying to stir something up. Emulation, which means always trying to compete. Always trying to excel others. Let me ask you something. Let me tell you something. If me and you trying to compete, we both lose. Because all you got to do is beat me, and all I got to do is beat you. The standards are so low. Don't you know we both made of dirt? What that look like? Two dirt bags competing. Wow. If you want to compete, compete with Christ. Because that is the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. Wrath, strife, sedition, which means division, heresies like evolution and other opinions of men, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, which means nightclubbing and partying. See, these are the fruits of the flesh. Are any of these on your tree? You either a good tree or a bad tree. Now, the fruits of a good tree are in verse number 22. Let's look at it. It has love inside, overflows with joy, causing peace within. It suffers long with his fellow man, gentle in his speech, and do good for all men. A man of faith that's meek and humble in the sight of God, and very self-controlled through temptations. In the valley of decision, either make the tree good and its fruits good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruits. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Montreal, I'll talk to myself. How do I make my tree good? That's a good question. It takes dedication. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. And I want you to listen for the key words. See, it's key words in the scripture. You got to listen, you got to hone on, those key words. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. And it reads, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death had no more dominion or power over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye may obey it in the lust thereof. See, when a seed is planted in the ground, before it can grow, it must die. And then it raise up and bring forth fruit. See, likewise, being planted in the watery grave of baptism, the old man dies along with his sinful nature, and he rise up and bring forth good fruit. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that shall bring forth his fruit in due season. Amen. It takes dedication. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus had over 70 disciples. John chapter 6, verse 66, it says that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no longer with Jesus. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter was dedicated. Peter also said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, we have forsaken all and followed thee. It takes dedication. It also takes separation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, for God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16 said, let your light shine so that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are not children of the dark, but children of the light. You are children of the day, not of the night, nor of the darkness. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed in the daytime, you see butterflies, you see singing birds, you see squirrels, and you see little baby duckies. But in the nighttime, you see spiders. You see bats. You see singing crickets. You see squirrels. You see opossums. You see raccoons. See, the birds don't conform to the bats. There's separation between both sides. Let me ask you a question. Do you like the night better than the day? 2 Corinthians 6:14 said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what has fellowship with righteousness with unrighteous? Or what communion has light with darkness? Wow. Let me ask you another question. Why is it that when you hit the light switch, darkness must leave the room before light can come in? Because light don't fellowship with darkness. Amen. Light's job is to expose darkness. Paul said in Acts 26:18, his job is to open men's eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the powers of Satan to God. But some men love darkness. And some men will refuse to change. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest their deeds shall be discovered. Wow. I remember a long, long time ago when I was in the world, long, long time ago, we went, a couple so-called people of darkness that I used to hang with, we went to this nightclub. Of course, a nightclub is dark, right? So we went into this club, everybody was dancing, everybody was, you know, doing what they do in the clubs. And after they played the last song in this club, they cut the lights on. And guess what? Within 3 minutes, the place was empty. It's something about that light, ain't it? See, men would do whatever it takes to flee from the light or cause the light to go dim. See, nature proves that light and darkness can't be friends. There must be separation. We are a God of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness. Romans 2:19. Let us not mix the two. Be careful or take heed lest the light which is in you be darkened. Luke 11:35. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17. There is no middle ground in the valley of decision. Choose a side. Either children of light or children of darkness. But it must be separation. It also takes conservation. See, conservation is the prevention and protection from damage, from destruction, change, and neglect. See, it's a term commonly used in protecting the environment. See, in Genesis 1, God created this environment with a water source. He created it with plant life that we not only eat, but we breathe in this oxygen. He also created it with animals for us to eat. See, that's conservation for mankind. See, it's like a baby in a womb. A baby is secured in the uterus where he gets nourishment from the placenta, where it flows to the baby through the umbilical cord. That's conservation. Jesus came to earth. He died on the tree for mankind's sins. He rose from the grave. He later reveals himself to his disciples. In Acts 1, his disciples see Jesus ascending up into the heavens on the clouds, ascending up into the heavens as they stand there gazing up at the heavens. See, Daniel picks up and gives us the reverse side of this story. Daniel says in Daniel 7:13, I saw in a light vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and Lord brought him before him. And that was giving him dominion or power and glory and a kingdom that all men, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which should not be passed away. And his kingdom is a kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. See, Jesus, his sacrifice earned him a kingdom and power. See, Jesus promised his disciples, I will build a kingdom. He said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. Those that received the word were baptized, and that same day were added to this kingdom, 3,000 souls, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The Lord adds to this kingdom, everlasting kingdom, daily, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. See, the Christian is secured in the kingdom, where he gets nourishment from the Holy Spirit, which flows to the Christian through the Word of God. That's conservation. Multitude in the valley of decision. Either enter into the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. Choose today to be a sheep or a goat. He says, separate them from one from another. Like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. He should say his goat on the left and his sheep on the right. And he should say to those on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for Satan and his angels. That's Matthew chapter 25, verse number 32. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The choice is yours. If you choose God, it takes dedication. If you choose Satan, you don't have to do nothing. Naturally, you will be destroyed. Choose God and believe in the life of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Repent and change from bearing those fruits of the flesh. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's very important, because many men believed, but they were ashamed to confess, John chapter 12, verse 42. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins, washing away and cleansing yourself from the filth of sin, and be added to that kingdom, that conservation. That conservation. You can't see, a seed cannot grow without sunlight, without water, without the ground. See, a Christian cannot grow without the church. So be added to the church, the one that you read in your Bible. And be separate from darkness so that you can be the light to help men see. He who has an ear, let him hear, while together we stand and sing.
Why keep Jesus?